Welcome to another episode of the QBless Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Cal Nelslager, joined as always by Brian Hartman. Yes, it's a start-sit episode, and the two of us are still here, so a little different rotation, but we're happy to bring you the latest start-sit decisions for your Week 14 matchups. Brian, how you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good. We got some football coming up. We're recording this on Wednesday, so tomorrow night for us, but not really excited for it. 30-point over-under, but other than that, I'm excited for the rest of the week outside of the crazy fun we've got ahead of us tomorrow.
I was gonna say, can you really count tomorrow night as football? I'm a Steeler fan, but is this really football? Well, of course we'll have to start with that matchup, but we'll get into all the latest start sit decisions, latest news throughout the matchups rather than at the top of the show. As always, you can find our work on QBList.com, where we'll have a full article breakdown of every fantasy relevant player, start sit decisions, any streamers, anything like that to win your fantasy matchups, as we are now in the final week of the regular season for most leagues and even some small leagues, the first round of the playoffs. So we know these decisions are ever so important. So we're going to do our best to make sure you make, give you the most updated information to make the best decisions, but continue to stay up to date on the site as the news continues to come out. But we'll kick it off with this first matchup. The New England Patriots travel to Pittsburgh to play the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday Night Football. The over-under in this game is a whopping 30 points, as Brian says. Yikes. So we'll start in New England, and I think this is pretty simple. Ramondre Stevenson is going to miss this week with a high ankle sprain. Brian, is there anybody in New England you want to start, especially with Demario Douglas also out with a concussion? So real simple. Is there any Patriot worth starting?
I mean, it makes it really easy for us. Zeke is the only one I'm excited to start. Yes, it is the corpse of Ezekiel Elliott. But hey, he's still getting it done out there, and he's going to have plenty of opportunities. I think the key with him is actually the amount of routes run he had last week after Ramondre went out. Zeke was still out there doing it all. So I would still start him as, hopefully he's not your RB1. But if you're putting him in as an RB2 or a flex spot, I feel pretty comfortable about that going into a must-win situation for the playoffs.
You saw last week the Steelers allow over 100 yards to James Conner. Ezekiel Elliott's looked pretty good this year when he's gotten the opportunity, so I'm perfectly fine with rolling him out there. And I agree, there's nobody else worth starting, so that makes our Patriot decisions very easily. Over with the Steelers, there's actually a little bit more decision. We'll start at the running back position because Najee Harris has missed Tuesday and Wednesday with a knee injury, but the Steelers have come out and said they're optimistic that he will play on Thursday. But at times, Jaylen Warren's looked like the better back. They're still splitting touches about 50-50. So how do you rank these Steelers running backs? Are you playing both of them, neither of them? What are you doing with your Steelers running backs?
I guess really, I mean, we're going to have to watch the report to see if Najee's playing, but I'm personally hoping Najee's out. Because if Najee's out, then it makes it so easy. Play Warren, put him in there. You got to feel pretty comfortable about that. But if Najee's out there, I think you have to downgrade both of them significantly. This game doesn't seem to have a lot of points on it. There's a definite chance that they could, fall their way into the end zone. But Trubisky is not. Like, Pickett's significantly better than Trubisky. So yes. To think that this offense will move very much, I think the best beneficiary of this will be Deontay Johnson. He gets hyper-targeted by Trubisky. But I guess wide receiver 3 is as high as I'd go with him. What about you? What are you thinking there?
I agree. Like you said, it's a better matchup against wide receivers. Patriots are in our 21st against wide receivers compared to 15th against running backs. So if Najee plays, you're hoping he falls in the end zone. That's about what he's been. And he's looked good when he's gotten those opportunities. So I think they're both lower end RB2s if they're both out there. But if Najee is out and Jaylen Warren, I think he is still an RB2, but kind of towards that mid running back 2, just because there's really nobody else that's worth it out in Pittsburgh. And same thing, Deontay Johnson's the only receiver I'm interested in because he does get hyper-targeted by Mitch Trubisky. What about Pat Freiermuth? If he was the waiver wire darling we talked about last week, he faces a tough matchup with the Patriots, but he could end up in the end zone, so you think you can roll out Freiermuth this week?
I really have no confidence there at all. The Patriots are the fourth best against tight end, allowing 6.5 points over the season to the tight end position. Trubisky won't. He's not willing to throw it where Freiermuth needs to go get it out there where he's really going to excel and grab those points. So if you have to, you can put him out there, but I wouldn't necessarily start him as a tight end 1 this week.
I agree. He's right on that border. He'd probably be, if I was doing rankings, somewhere like 13, 14, where you may have to start him, but you're likely able to find somebody on waivers this week. And if you are looking for those waiver wire options, just a good plug, Brian does a weekly tight end streamers article that has definitely helped me out in some of my leagues. So if you're looking for someone to replace Pat Freiermuth, check that article out. I'm sure we'll discuss some of those guys, but there's definitely some good streaming options this week.
Ooh, well, I think that's about all I want to start from this game. You ready to get out of it?
Yeah, please. Please.
I'm going to Atlanta.
Steelers fan, but shield your eyes. Just plug your nose and hope your guy falls in the end zone. All right, so we'll head over to the next matchup. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel to Atlanta to take on the Atlanta Falcons, where we actually have some good options here. We'll start on the Tampa Bay side, where you have Baker Mayfield as a quarterback too, which I think is pretty good play. He's with Sam Howell and Kyler Murray on bye. He's looked pretty good this year, Baker. I've been impressed. I think he's playing for a job, getting himself a possible starter job for next season. So I'm sure you like that as a matchup this week.
Yeah, for sure. He has been pleasantly surprising. I remember coming into the season, you know, people talking about Baker, you know, how long is he going to be able to hold on this job? Is Kyle Trask going to come in? But he's done a great job. He's got Mike Evans already to 1,000 yards, something that took Brady all 18 games or all 17 games last season. So I think you could roll him out there against the Atlanta Falcons, who really they're great against the running back, great against the wide receiver, but they seem to let it go to the quarterback position at 22nd. In the league against quarterback. So, I think Baker is a decent streamer this week.
Yeah, the Falcons, like you said, they're a great matchup for against the running back position, but you still have Rashad White as an RB1 this week. What do you like most about, I know he's been under the radar good this year, but what do you like most about this matchup for Rashad White?
I think him, it's the pass catching that gives me that confidence to play him. He may not exactly be the best runner as far as running behind this line, but he has been catching the ball left and right. He had five targets, two targets, seven targets, three targets, four targets, seven targets several weeks. So he's just getting it done over there, and quietly a top five running back in most platforms. So I still feel the confidence that he'll get it done, and Mike Evans is also on that list. I think he'd be a wide receiver one still against Atlanta.
And Mike Evans, easily you're still starting him. Any other pass catcher? I know Godwin was someone we all kind of had a good feeling about coming into the year. He's been struggling. Kate Otten's been a streaming tight end option. Are you interested in any other Buccaneer pass options?
Not particularly. Kate Otten's been out there running routes. So you think he'd eventually get the targets and really start rolling, but I don't know. Baker's just not a fan of the tight end, I guess. Looking at the other side, we've got Drake London over there. Would you rather play Godwin or London? Drake
London.
London's been wide receiver 8-3, 29, and 51 over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think it's an easy Drake London for me. The matchup against the Buccaneers is one we've been trying to attack all season compared to the Falcons, who, it's definitely Falcons defense, which is definitely a tougher matchup. London is the clear go-to guy over getting Mac Hollins back. So hopefully that doesn't screw anything up, but it's Arthur Smith's, but so you never know. But yeah, I think there's a lot more ups to like with Drake London lately than Godwin.
I think so too. You have the Bucs defense ranked 29 or 28th against wide receivers. So possibilities are there. It's just, can Ritter get on the ball? Can he stop himself from running it in all the time? Cause it's just ruining the game for us folks. Not like,
yes. No, I completely agree. I'm sticking with the Falcons. Bijan Robinson, of course, you start him, plain and simple. No other wide receiver in Atlanta. You do like Desmond Ridder as a streamer against this Bucs defense, and you know what? Sure, I can't blame you with that one. So obviously, I'd rather start Baker, but if you're in a super flex league, I think Desmond Ridder is a fine lower end QB too.
Hey, when half the league's like backups, essentially, like it's hard not to go with it, right?
Yeah, but no, you got a good point there. And the final question is the weekly question. What do we do with Kyle Pitts? Can he be started this week? It's another, like I said, the Bucs can be beat in the passing. They're 22nd against tight ends, but it's Kyle Pitts. So what do you do with him?
He had a promising looking week last week. He was top 12, finished with 9 points. Eight targets was the big thing, big takeaway. Only turned it into 4 catches for 51 yards, but really, Kyle Pitts, we know what he is. Like most of these Falcons, it's a dice roll. He has all the talent in the world. He goes out there and runs the routes, but it's, you know, are the plays drawn up for him? Can Ritter get him the ball? So I think if you're looking for a high upside play, if you're the underdog and you're a must-win situation, sure, throw Pitts out there.
Asking for a friend, Kyle Pitts or Pat Freiermuth this week?
Ooh. I'd go Pitts just because I don't like Trubisky that much.
Yeah, I probably agree with you. I probably should make that switch in my lineup.
It's crazy how bad that Steelers-Patriots matchup is, because it makes the over-under of 39 in this game of the Bucs and the Falcons look so much higher. Like a 9-point difference, that's just wild to me.
Yeah, this is going to be a sneaky good game. Both teams have kind of just been average this year. They've had some games where you're like, okay, it's starting to pick things up. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to watching this game. Hopefully we see the continued progression that we've seen from Drake London, from Bijan, from Kyle Pitts, and you can maybe trust your Falcons as we get to the fantasy playoffs.
I hope so. Well, you ready to go to Baltimore?
Let's do it.
That rainy game we've got going on up there. We've got several games we're going to talk about today with rain, but right now this game's looking at an over-under of 40 points. Baltimore's favored by 7 at the moment, but we're looking at 20-mile-an-hour winds. Pretty chilly game, maybe 44 degrees, but 20-mile-an-hour winds, that's when games start to get a little shaky. That's when kicks are a little skewed. That's when throws are a little skewed. So I think this is more what we need to worry about, not necessarily the rain. It's the wind in this game, but, I mean, it's Lamar. He's still a top 6 quarterback, right?
Yeah, easily. Even if it is potential rain, if there's wind, Lamar's just going to run it himself 10 to 15 times and make it up on the ground, likely get his way into the end zone. So I know there's some concern with the weather, but I think Lamar is still a safe play because of his rushing floor. Does that weather change your opinion on Matthew Stafford on the other side? Do you think he's still someone you can stream, or in a 2 QB league more likely, someone you want to start even with this rainy weather?
Oh, that one would be a hard one. I don't think so. Just the weather's bad. He's probably a low-end QB2 this week. I just think there's plenty of other options you could find out there outside of Matthew Stafford. So he has been great in the yards department over the last few weeks, but I just don't know if I would be confident enough to play him.
I'm definitely not confident enough, but like you said, with the last matchup, there's enough backup quarterbacks where I'll trust Stafford when he's got both Kupp and Nacua out there, even in the weather. You have to temper expectations. He's definitely a lower end, probably a lot closer to 20 than he is 12 or anything like that this week, probably in the 20s, but I think I'd still put him out there as a QB2, even in a tough matchup with Baltimore and weather.
Well, I think one of the hardest decisions is Kyren Williams. I say hard decision because the Ravens are one of the best teams against the run, but Kyren Williams is just unfreaking believable this year. How can you bench him? Just points per game? You can't.
You can't. He's still getting involved in the passing game for the Rams. So while he's probably going to be not his most efficient self on the ground, he'll probably run for 50 to 60 yards, but he's gotten 5 or more targets each of the last 2 weeks that he's played. The Ravens, yeah, they're good against everything defensively, but if they're going to be beat, it's been at the running back position. They're ranked 10th against running backs, which is still very good, but that's better than first, third, and ninth against every position. So they're going to be, Rams are likely going to be playing from behind if they even get some sort of a weather, which means they're going to have to throw it a lot, which means some dump offs for Kyren. So no way you could bench him with how well he's looked since he come back.
For sure. Cooper Kupp looks like he's going to play this week. Nacua looks like he's going to play this week. They're both battling injuries, but I don't think I can have a lot of confidence that they are going to be top-end guys this week. But, I mean, you still have to have plenty of confidence to play them both.
Yeah, you do. I definitely trust Puka more than I would Cooper Kupp right now, even though Kupp was still more targeted than Nacua. But Nacua just had a 100-yard game. He found his way in the end zone, and Kupp just clearly does not look healthy. You can tell that the ankle is still probably bothering him. But even in a tough matchup against the Ravens, you're likely going to not have too many better options than them. So they're both wide receiver 2s, probably, again, closer in that 20 range than in the teens, but someone you're still starting, again, just probably temper some expectations for them compared to your normal Puka Nacua weeks.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if at least one of them finds a way into the end zone. So, you know, giving you one of them can give you that wide receiver one upside, but to count both of them up there against this Ravens defense, I just don't think it can be done. One thing I did find interesting, I was really hoping to see if Lamar cut it loose in this game, just the Rams being one of the worst teams against the deep ball. But with all this wind, man, I don't think we're going to get it. I think that I was hoping Odell might be a sneaky play. Like I still think he's going to be a good play. Just Mark Andrews is gone, but I was hoping he might find himself a big explosive wide receiver one crazy game. Not that I'd play him as that, but.
Yeah. So in the same sense, if you think they're going to be probably not able to fire it deep due to this wind, where does this put Zay Flowers for you? Is he someone, I know he's had a pretty inconsistent stretch lately, but is he someone you could start with confidence this week?
I think confidently you can start him for sure. I think the game plan might set him up pretty well. He's come out for a wide receiver six performance before the bye week. He had 25 yards and a touchdown, and he also ran in a 37-yard touchdown, which, you know, I guess the team didn't want him to finish that game off. But either way, I think the Flowers should be catching, you know, that's all he does is catch the ball, screen passes, and 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. So if the wind really is that bad and Lamar's struggling to get it deep, I think Flowers is set up for a great role to this week. And also Isaiah Likely. We didn't touch on him too much on the waiver show. We just figuring he's going to be in most leagues picked up, but I definitely think he should be played this week as well.
30th against the tight end RV Los Angeles Rams. I completely agree. Isaiah Likely is a great play. And we skipped over the Raven running backs. You and I touched a lot in the waiver show about Keaton Mitchell as someone that you want to pick up. But in this matchup with the Rams, with the weather, how it is, how do you rank them? The Rams are 6th against fantasy running backs. So is Mitchell a must play? Is this another Gus week? How do you rank the Ravens running backs?
I kind of see Mitchell more as like a running back 3 kind of flex sort of play. He has that speed, that breakout ability that he could, you know, score at any moment. So I think you have that upside that you're going to get from him. And then you've got Gus. Oh, Gus. Touchdown Gus. So I think you can play him with RB2 expectations. I'm sure he's going to get a touchdown in this game despite the Rams being really good against the run. Or who knows? Maybe Lamar runs all these runs, you know, runs the ball in all game and no points for the running backs.
I'd probably put them both in that flex territory. Like you said, Gus, you're hoping he falls into the end zone. Mitchell, if you need someone with some more upside, he's probably a more upside play, but the matchup with the Rams I don't like, but the weather, maybe they'll have to run it more. But so you don't have to start your Ravens, but odds are you're going to, or Ravens running backs should say, but odds are you'll probably have to throw one of them out there. And I think I'd still rank Gus a little bit higher, but the gap's definitely closing, that's for sure. All right, we'll get to our first actual game where the answer is pretty easy on the other side. Detroit Lions travel to Chicago, take on the Chicago Bears. The Lions are a 3-point favorite with an over-under of 42.5, which compared to this week makes it sound like it's 50-something. So we'll start with the Lions. And past couple weeks when we've done the Lions, it's very simple. Start everybody. Is that the case again this week?
100%. The Lions offense is too good. They score too many points. Goff, I think he's a low-end QB1. Both the running backs, you can look as RB2s with upside to that RB. You know, whoever gets those touchdowns is going to be the RB1. St. Brown, though, you fully confident in him?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah, I think we're good with that one. So.
And then we got Super Sam Laporta down there, one of the greatest rookie tight end seasons we've ever seen. How can you not start that guy?
Yeah, especially against the Bears defense. That's bottom half of the league against every position. So start your Lions, plain and simple. We'll go over to the Bears, where it's definitely a little bit of a more difficult conversation. You start off with Justin Fields. I think with the way he's playing, with how the Lions have been susceptible on defense to the pass, Fields is still a lower-end quarterback one for me this week, someone you can still start with rushing floor. I don't think I have any hesitation to start him. But the real question for me is the running back position. Again, another running back we talk a lot on the waiver wire show was Roschon Johnson and his usage before the bye week. We now get a tough matchup against the Lions, where Roschon should be getting the lead back work, right?
He should be, but of course, Donta Foreman practiced in full this week.
Oh, good.
But I think we are at the point of the season, though, that this coaching staff, Eberflus might be on the hot seat, but I think this coaching staff really wants to find out what they have in the rookie going forward. Do they need to retain Foreman? Do they need to re-sign Herbert? Is Johnson going to be their guy? So I really hope after a 72% snap percentage game last, or 74% snap percentage game back in week 12, I hope that Roshan can really get that shot, because if so, he's a flex-worthy player with high upside. He's seen over five targets in two, or he's seen five or more targets in two of his last three games played. So that's promising, especially when you've got Justin Fields back there.
Definitely. And like you said, tough matchup. Lions are fourth best against the running back position. So I definitely put the expectation to flex, but Roshan Johnson, if he gets the volume, should still be a fine play, like you said, especially with his passing game work. And the rest of the options for the Bears are also pretty simple. It's DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and you start him. We know they got a good rapport with Justin Fields, so not too much of a decision to be made with those guys.
Yeah, pretty confident in both of them.
All right, well, let's you kick this one off since it's your Indianapolis Colts. They travel to Cincinnati to take on the Cincinnati Bengals in a game that's got a lot of playoff implications. The Bengals pulled off the upset against the Jacksonville Jaguars on Monday night and now are sitting just outside of a playoff berth against the Colts, who somehow, just like my Steelers, hold on to a wild card spot at the moment.
Yeah, who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk? Gardner Minshew, Mitchell Trubisky, and Joe Flacco would be starting playoff games right now if the season ended today.
That's just, I don't like that. We're going to cut that out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, 43 point over under. It's wild. Indy's only favored by a point. But Minshew, I think you can get it done with Minshew this week. I think he has the possibility of giving you low-end QB1 this week. He's not necessarily the best. He doesn't throw multiple touchdowns in too many games, but he rushes the ball a lot. He has been throwing the ball to Michael Pittman, and it seems like Michael Pittman only. Last week we had Alec Pierce get involved, so I think Minshew can be started with confidence this week.
I like him as a streamer. The Bengals are susceptible to the pass. We saw it last week where Trevor Lawrence was having one of his better games of the season before he got hurt, and then C.J. Beathard came in and looked pretty solid. It's an overtime matchup, so I definitely like Minshew. Probably as a higher-end QB2 in my eyes, maybe a low QB1, but it's definitely close. And the other side of this matchup is quarterback, a name that people are looking to stream as well, just based on the matchup and what we saw on Monday night. It's Jake Browning against the Colts, who, again, have been pretty susceptible to pass. They're middle of the pack. They're 16th against quarterbacks, but maybe it's more a benefit for Jamar Chase. So if you had to start one of these guys, do you prefer Minshew, I'm guessing?
For sure. Definitely.
And Browning, if you are desperate for streamers, is he a fine option, or you probably find something better?
I imagine you can find something better, but... Oh, I don't know. I guess what else would you look at outside of Browning? Or would you do Stafford or Browning?
I think I'd do Browning.
Baker Mayfield or Browning?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think I'd go Baker in that one, but that one's close.
I think I might go Browning in that one now that I think of it. Just the Indianapolis has hit the over in eight of their games.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were talking about, Atlanta's got a pretty good... I don't know. I think that's right about that line, though.
That's right there. Like they're interchange. If I was ranking, it'd probably be back-to-back. So I think that's right at the middle. Browning, if you're in a 2QB league, definitely start. Good QB2. But if you're in a one quarterback league, he's a streamable option, but there's probably better ones out there. Same thing with Josh Dobbs. He's probably right in that same conversation. We'll get to him in a little bit as well.
We haven't got to the game yet, but Jameis Winston or Browning?
Oh, Browning. I can't. I know I threw him out as a streamer, but I didn't know what Browning was going to look like on Monday night, so I'll go Browning in that for that one. But
I like it. I like it. I play dangerously. I'll go Jameis, but I think the smarter play is probably Browning.
Hey, you know what? It's playoffs. You could go for it. So we know that the quarterbacks have some easy options. Receivers, it's very simple. Michael Pittman, Jamar Chase, both are top 12 receivers this week. Pittman's been awesome. Ja'Marr Chase had a breakout game, and against the Colts should be due for another one. So those are the easy calls at the receiver position. Josh Downs and T. Higgins, though, those are definitely not as easy of calls. Where do they fall for you? Are they still probably play? It's good matchups for both of them, but how eager are you to play Higgins or Downs?
I'm trying everything I can to not play Higgins. I actually dropped T. Higgins in a league last week. I just didn't see him helping me in the playoffs. Josh Downs, I would play confidently as like a flex play this week. Now, it looks like you're chasing fire, but I actually might borderline play Alec Pierce over T. Higgins. Alec Pierce had his one and only touchdown and one and only 100-yard game of his career last week, so it definitely looks like you're chasing it. But the Bengals are a team that you can throw it on. They are 31st in the league in the deep pass rate allowed against them. And is it here? 38% completion rate in deep ball passes against them too. So I think that Alec Pierce has a chance to have a decent day, maybe just a DFS day, but I think we could see something come out of him in this game as well. Like I said, they hit the over in most of the games.
We saw the Colts make it a point to try and get Alec Pierce more involved, and it worked. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Pierce have another, you know, deep ball, probably touchdown. I like the call for DFS. That might be something I try and sprinkle out there on Sunday. And T. Higgins, he only had 3 catches last week on only 3 targets. He's actually out-targeted by Tyler Boyd. He's a flex at best right now, and you're probably looking elsewhere. I don't know if Browning's the type of quarterback who can really support 2 pass catchers in that offense right now. So it's Ja'Marr Chase, and that's that. And the running backs, you temper expectation for Joe Mixon, but he fell in the end zone twice. He's still a running back too, and there's no way you could sit him in this matchup.
He's the second receiver that Browning's holding up. Mixon had 7 targets and 6 catches last week. I like that. Mixon, I feel like, should be a solid RB2 with the RB1 upside this week.
Absolutely. With that high over-under, the odds of him falling in the end zone are pretty, pretty good. So, and then Zach Moss, yep, you're starting him out there. There's no other running back in Indy, and it's a good, really good matchup against the Bengals. And if you thought the Patriots-Steelers game was going to be ugly, well, there's one that might be just as ugly. We got the Jacksonville Jaguars traveling to Cleveland to take on the Cleveland Browns with an over-under of 30.5 as we sit here right now. Gross. Gross. Just as we predicted in the beginning of the season, it's a C.J. Beathard versus Joe Flacco quarterback matchup. Potentially Trevor Lawrence missed practice, and Doug Peterson hasn't ruled him out yet. But if they're smart, they're going to sit Trevor Lawrence against the Cleveland Browns defense. Just a hunch, but I guess monitor that situation closely. If Lawrence does pull a miracle and play, do you have any confidence in starting him?
Honestly, if he didn't hurt himself on Monday, I still would struggle to have confidence playing against him with the Browns. The Browns are just too good in all parts of the field. So really, I think it's probably a good thing if he doesn't miss the game. Go take care of yourself. Don't give me that chance of like who to start. But if he doesn't, then ETN is really the only piece I like on this side. Evan Ingram, I feel like, is going to be his safety valve. If Beathard just doesn't feel comfortable back there behind that offensive line with that pass rush, I think Ingram can be a heavy beneficiary, just, you know, catching these short balls. But even with Kirk out, I don't like Ridley at all this week if Beathard's playing.
No, I don't like it either. And if you listen to the waiver wire show, you know I needed Calvin Ridley to have a huge game for me to get me into the playoffs in one of my home leagues, and he got me 6 points. So that was disappointing, but yeah, I can't trust Calvin Ridley. The Browns have allowed the second fewest points to receivers this season, and his targets were equal to Zay Jones. They both had 8 targets after the Christian Kirk injury, so Zay Jones is going to be a name you want to monitor. He'll probably fill in that Christian Kirk type role and be someone you want to start in a good matchup. This is just not that matchup with the Cleveland Browns. So definitely Travis Etienne right now is the only one I want to start. And if you need a boom bust play, Calvin Ridley is a flexible option. If you need the high upside, he has that, but just know he might put up a 2 or 3 point stinker as well.
Yeah, I just got this feeling in my gut all of a sudden Ridley's going to have one of those prove-it games just to spite me.
It's the Gabe Davis effect. The week you don't want to start him, he goes off. The week you want to start him, he doesn't. So hopefully, you know, so if you're going with that theory, yeah, maybe you start Calvin Ridley. But we would advise against it.
kind of flashing over to the other side, we've got the Cleveland Browns. Cooper is most likely to be out of this game. Elijah Moore, 12 targets. Only brought in four of them, but still 12 targets is amazing. Do you feel more comfortable playing Elijah Moore or Calvin Ridley?
That's a really good question. I think I'd still go Ridley, but if there's no Amari Cooper, it's definitely a closer call. Monitor the quarterbacks extremely closely. They haven't officially said that they're switching. They haven't ruled Joe Flacco as a starter. They're still monitoring Dorian Thompson-Robinson. If it's DTR, I can't trust Elijah Moore. But if Joe Flacco is that quarterback again, you saw he's willing to take deep shots of Elijah Moore. So if Flacco's out there, I think Moore is a solid flex play this week. As someone I'm starting with some confidence. I'm definitely a fan of Elijah Moore. He will also be a name I'm probably going to sprinkle in some DFS lineups and someone I'm starting with a lot more confidence than I ever thought I'd be starting Elijah Moore with. This is a good matchup against the Jaguars, who are allowing the sixth most points to fantasy wide receivers this season. So definitely love the Elijah Moore call, especially if Amari Cooper misses time.
For sure. Yeah, we've got that combination of no Cooper and yes Flacco. Give me more and more. That's just what I want there.
Give me more. Give me more. Over to the running back position. The Jerome Ford, Kareem Hunt, where do you find them? Jaguars middle of the pack against running backs? Are you starting either of them?
Not with confidence. Ever since Nick Chubb went down with that injury, we just haven't seen somebody fill in. I believe both these running backs are averaging below 3.6 yards per carry this year. It's just not looking great. They lost their right tackle a while back. They've had injuries across the line, just poor quarterback play. I just don't really want... I would be willing to flex, I think, Hunt just with that pass-catching upside. But to start Ford in these games, it just hasn't been... I guess looking back, he has scored double digits in several of the games, but it's just not inspiring. I feel like that is his ceiling, is right about that 11, 12 points.
Would you start Jerome Ford or Najee Harris?
Who?
If he plays.
That's gross. I think Najee has a higher chance of a touchdown than Ford does.
Jerome Ford or one of the Ravens running backs?
Yikes. I just don't know what to do with Jerome Ford.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. I think I'd start him as a RB2. He played about 50% of the snaps last week, which is a little less than I was expecting. This is a low over under where you feel like it might be a ground and pound site game. So I think he's a RB2. I think I'd start Ford over. I think I'd start him over one of the Ravens running backs. And for Najee one, I think I'd slightly lean Najee, but it's close. They'd probably be like back-to-back or only a few spots away for rankings. But.
Yeah, I would probably have all of these guys ranked right around the same spot. Ford, Gus, Keaton Mitchell, Najee, even Zeke in that game. Yeah. I think he would be right around these guys too. So I think you're rolling dice with most of these players. You're going to get some points. They all get some volume, but they're just not inspirational plays, I guess.
Yeah, and David Njoku, he's getting plenty of targets, still a tight end one. Move over to New Orleans, where the New Orleans Saints host the Carolina Panthers. The over-under is 37.5. We'll start with the Panthers, where Chuba Hubbard has actually gotten a lot of volume lately, so maybe he falls into the same category as the Jerome Fords, the Najee Harris, and the Ezekiel Elliotts. With the volume and a tough matchup against the Saints, what do you do with Chuba Hubbard this week?
It's interesting. With this being, like you said, the first game since the head coach was fired, I think you have to start Chuba with some confidence that just he is going to get the work. Seems like they want to run the ball maybe a little bit more, trying to take off some from Bryce Young because he is struggling in his rookie year, the poor guy. But I think Chuba Hubbard, again, I think he's falling right around this same range of these Najee Harris's, Keaton Mitchell's, Zeke Elliott's. New Orleans is a tough... I think I take... If Najee plays, I think I take Najee over Hubbard.
I would too.
Keaton Mitchell, I think he has a higher upside as well.
I'd start Zeke over him for sure. I'd probably still start Ford over him. So Chuba would probably be towards the bottom just because of the matchup. But the volume should be there, I would think. But so you could do worse. He's a low end RB2, high end flex sort of for me, just for a volume in this matchup where it's Jameis. So we're probably going to keep him closer than they probably should.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's Jameis because Derek Carr was back out on the practice in a limited fashion on Wednesday. So I just saw this news come across. So hopefully it's Jameis. I think Jameis gives us the highest ceiling for excitement on the offensive side, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Jameis would be, he's the streamer. He's probably lower end for streamer just because it's the Jameis effect of you have no idea what you're going to get. But maybe that's what makes him actually a good streamer if you have no really idea what you're going to get. How does it change depending on who's at a quarterback? I know we're starting Chris Olave no matter what, but do you have higher expectations of Jameis out there? What do you do with the tight ends if it's Jameis versus Carr? What do you do with the Saints receivers, just both situations?
Olave, I think you have about the same amount of confidence in playing him. You're going to put him out there as a wide receiver too, knowing that he can make some play at any point to be a wide receiver one. I think I know Winston seems to take more of those chances, but he also is more turnover prone. So you have to take, you know, the good with the bad when it comes to Jameis. I guess that's my only fear there is Jameis can go out there and throw four picks and just have no offensive production at all. Whereas Derek Carr, you're at least going to have some sort of car driving down the field, whether it's a 1980s rusted out POS, I don't know, but it's, I think Olave's talent outweighs all in the situation. Taysom Hill, though, I still think you're starting tight end one. He did well for us last week. I think that ball's going to keep rolling, though.
The Panthers are 30th against running backs, and I always say it's against running backs because you know what's going to happen. It's going to be a ball at the goal line. Taysom Hill's going to take a direct snap and run it in for a touchdown. So don't come at me when he vultures the Alvin Kamara, but also start that Alvin Kamara guy. I think he's I hear he's pretty, pretty good. Sticking with pass catchers real quick, we'll go over to the Panthers where a lot of our talk on the waiver show was the uptick for Jonathan Mingo and the downside of Adam Thielen. So has Mingo overtaken Thielen for you?
I think so. Mingo's seen six or more targets in his last four games, including 10 targets last week. Caught six of them for 69 yards. This is a highly drafted round two rookie for the Carolina Panthers who have no young talent. So they absolutely have to see, and they have no draft capital to gain more young talent. So they absolutely have to find out what they have in this guy because he may do well. He's a bigger receiver. He's 6'2", 220, giving, you know, little Bryce Young out there a bigger target to throw to. Hayden Hurst actually was diagnosed with post-traumatic something or other today. I know something or other's not.
Yeah, I think it's something with like amnesia, I want to say.
Amnesia, there you go.
That, yeah.
So he'll be out of this game. There goes, you know, another target. So I think you can roll Mingo out there as like a wide receiver four, maybe wide receiver three flex right in that area. Not necessarily with confidence, but I get it. There's some deeper leaves out there and you've got to do something.
Yes, if you have to start one, I think I'm starting Mingo, both a mismatch up against the Saints, the third ranked defense against wide receivers. I'm probably sitting this one out and just trying and stashing Mingo. Probably not throwing him out there yet, but if you're desperate, I think he's probably the better play, which I didn't really think I'd say. But
You had to flex either Hubbard or Mingo, you're flexing Hubbard?
I'm flexing Hubbard just for the volume, yeah. But it's close. I want to stash Mingo, but if I had to pick one, I'd start Hubbard, yeah.
Cool. Well, let's get to an exciting game. You want to go to New York? I hear it's pretty exciting there.
I mean, I've enjoyed some nights in New York.
I hope we enjoy this one because Zach Wilson has got the start when the Jets meet the Houston Texans. It's a 33-point over-under. Houston is favored by 5.5 at this point. This stinks because we have no hope, nothing exciting for the New York Jets except this elite secondary they have. And what is that going to do? Squash the only confidence we have on the Texans, which is the receiving group. We've got no Tank Dell. He's out for the season. Nico Collins. We've seen him with the without Tank Dell out there. He has 13 20-plus yard catches in the last 10 or since week 10. Collins has run 130 routes without Tank Dell. He's got a 30% of the team target share in that time. So I feel like he's a wide receiver one going forward rest of the season. But against this elite Jets defense, do you have that kind of wide receiver one confidence in him?
if it's not wide receiver one, it's high-end wide receiver two. 9 or more targets each of the last 3 weeks. Sauce Gardner doesn't exactly shadow, but so I'll see some DJ Reed, who's also pretty dang good. So you probably temper some expectations, but he's going to catch a deep ball. He's going to be the go-to target. He's probably only one of these receivers I can really start with confidence. If I can avoid Noah Brown as a result of this matchup, I'm probably doing it just because it's one of his first weeks past the past his injury. We didn't see a lot of work from him as he worked his way back. Now he's going to go against the Jets. So I can start Nico Collins of confidence just because of the volume he's going to get, and he's the clear go-to number one. Otherwise, I just want to see what the rest of these pass catchers can do before I throw them back out there.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's going to be hard to play Collins, but I guess would you play Collins or Garrett Wilson on the other side, who's got a better Collins matchup?
I'll still go Collins. Yeah.
No confidence. I thought Zach Wilson might be coming back with a little bit more hope, but
it gives me more hope for him. So I think you could be a little more confident starting Garrett Wilson with Zach Wilson under center, but it's still Zach Wilson. So I never really thought I'd say that Zach Wilson gives me more confidence, but I've seen enough of Tim Boyle to realize it's actually an upgrade.
Yeah, the Jets have scored the fewest amount of touchdowns in the league so far this season. It's gross over there.
What do you do with Breece Hall? And now that Zach Wilson's back, you play a Texans defense that if they're susceptible against anything, it's more against the run. They're 17th against the running backs, so just slightly below average. But the past couple weeks have been dreadful. He's barely gotten over 40 yards rushing in any of his weeks, but the pass volume is there, so is Breece Hall a must start? Or
I think he's still a must start. Just the matchups that he's going to have this week and going forward, it's purely for the passing, though. His, like you said, his rushing has been atrocious. He hasn't been above 4 yards a carry since week 5, and that was, you know, Denver. They can't stop the rush. So I think you're still playing him because he has that upside. He can break off a play at any point, but it's going to have to be a passing play that he breaks off. But his targets the last few weeks, 8 targets, 9 targets, 6 targets. Even prior to that with Zach Wilson, you know, he had 9 and 5 target games. So I still think you can start him, but it's, you know, you're not starting him as a high-end running back two. You're probably putting him in there more as a low-end running back two, mm-hmm. and then hoping that magic play happens.
And good news for the tight end position. Dalton Schultz returned to practice from his hamstring injury last week. With no Tank Dell, is he a fire him right back up tight end, or you want to wait and see?
I still play him just because the Jets, you have to beat him somewhere in the passing game. And, well, honestly, if anybody's going to beat him, wouldn't it be C.J. Stroud that just absolutely shreds with Nico Collins this week? But, no, if they have him locked up, I think either whether it's Brevin Jordan or Dalton Schultz, I still think they're going to see, you know, heavy targets. You know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see a 6-7 target game go to the tight end. So I would still start him, but you're just, you know, more as a low-end tight end one.
And you know what, if you're streaming tight ends this week, the Texans have allowed the 5th most points to fantasy tight ends. So I think Tyler Conklin, with the usage he's had for this Jet offense, you could do worse. Last week he had 9 targets, he had a 17% target share the last 3 weeks. So Zach Wilson's got to throw to somebody. So I think Conklin's a fine streamer. Probably in that same Freiermuth tier I was talking about earlier. But someone I'd consider throwing out there if I needed a desperate play.
God, I've tried to play him a couple of times, just like the matchup was right, and ooh, it has burned me. So I'm hesitant, but I understand where the matchup is.
Yeah, just waiting to go conk again. It's been a little while since we can do that.
It has been a bit.
Speaking of Tyler Conklin, we'll have to go to his former team, the Minnesota Vikings, who traveled to Las Vegas, take on the Las Vegas Raiders, over under of 40 with the Vikings had a 3-point favorite. I mentioned Josh Dobbs as a possible streamer earlier in the show. He's probably a QB2. Where does he fit into that Jake Browning, Gardner Minshew sort of a Baker Mayfield grouping? How much confidence do you have with him this week?
Are you talking about that ugly spot down there in that mid to low end QB2?
Yeah, it's an ugly spot, but it's you need to start some of these guys, unfortunately.
Yeah, if you're streaming them, I think you can get away with probably middling to upend QB2. Just he has that rushing upside. We've seen it before in this season. I don't think that one, you know, I don't think we need to take away too much from that 4-point showing against Chicago. He had 4 interceptions. I get that. But prior to that, he hasn't thrown more than 2 in a game. So I think we might be able to look at that a little bit more of an outlier. He also had one of his, it was the lowest rushing attempts of the season for him at only 2 rushes for 11 yards. Prior to that, he had a handful of 3 rush games, but it's all been 6 or more outside of that in 8 games. So I think you can still put him in there confidently above guys like, maybe C.J. Stroud against C.J. Stroud against the Jets or Josh Dobbs.
Ooh. I think I'll go Stroud.
Dobbs. I might go Dobbs in that.
I might slightly lean Stroud just because of that last game in my head, but he's getting Justin Jefferson back, so that might change things. Jefferson's very simple. He's back. You throw him out there, no concerns.
You have to. If he goes off and he's on your bench, there's no way that works for you, you know. But if he gives you a dud out on the field, you know, you can live with that.
Yeah, and then Jordan Addison, he's still someone you want to start with the return of Justin Jefferson, or...
I don't want to, but I understand if people have to. I'm going to put him out there more as a flex play with, you're hoping a touchdown is broken off because that's really what's carried most of him earlier in the season. I don't like playing him, but, like I said, I will if I need to in a flex spot.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. That assessment. And lastly, for the Vikings, real quick, the running back situation, we mentioned Ty Chandler's name on the waiver show as a name to pick up. The Raiders have been a matchup you've wanted to attack against running backs, but this has been an ugly situation in Minnesota. So can you start any of the Vikings running backs with any sort of confidence this week?
Not with confidence, no. I think we've talked about this group quite a bit, but they're going to fall right in that. Gus Edwards, Keaton Mitchell, Zeke, even A.J. Dillon. I think we haven't touched on him, but he'd be a guy I think I would fall in that area. Names I'd start above him would probably be like Jaylen Warren, Jerome Ford. I think I would do Gus Edwards above Alexander Mattison, but he's definitely an RB3 for me for this week.
I would probably agree. The only one I'd have like slight hesitation for might be Gus, but I wouldn't blame you because he probably is more likely to fall into the end zone. Over to Las Vegas, you have a very simple decision. You start Josh Jacobs, you start Davante Adams, and then you close your computer.
You let it ride.
Jacoby Myers, that's ship sailed. Is there anybody else in Vegas you have any sort of interest in?
Nope.
Perfect. Let's move on.
Let's head to San Francisco, a team that knows how to score points. Let's see a 47. I know, folks, 47-point over-under in this game. San Francisco is favored by 10.5. I think the Seahawks are going to take them to the end. I bet we see a 3-4 point game here. Seahawks have been, they've been surprising over the last couple weeks, I feel like. With that huge game against Dallas?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think the Seahawks are going to play them a lot closer. I wouldn't say I'm hammering this because it's 49ers, but if I was a betting man, I'm pretty confident the Seahawks are going to cover 10.5. They played the Cowboys very close, and they're playing just as well as the 49ers, and these division matchups are always close. We saw it on Thanksgiving was pretty much a blowout, but this is a different Seahawks team than we saw. So I think Geno is, I think he falls in that same tier as the Jake Browning, Josh Jobs of the worlds, where I think he's got all his weapons working well. So I probably put Geno higher up, even in this tough matchup with the 49ers, but I got a lot of confidence after seeing what he did with Dallas. So I'm not as worried about starting Geno against San Francisco as I would have been maybe 2 weeks ago.
100%. I think one of the biggest things with the Seahawks right now is that offensive line is finally healthy. Yes. They're all back out there on the field, and they're playing a lot better. 49ers are a scary defense. Don't get me wrong. They are 4th against quarterback, 3rd against running back, and 2nd against tight end. But that weakness is probably the biggest strength of Seattle Seahawks. They're 24th against wide receivers. And then you've got guys like DK, Lockett, and JSN. I think you can put all of them out there. I think all of them I would be able to start as a wide receiver 3, DK more of a wide receiver 2, with all of them having that upside of jumping at least one tier.
Yeah, I completely agree. Jackson Smith and Njigba, I liked what I saw last week. 11 targets against the Cowboys compared to Metcalf and Lockett's 8. Metcalf is definitely the one I'm most confident in. I think I'd still put Lockett slightly ahead of Njigba, but they've had the exact same target share the past 3 weeks. So we might be getting to the point where after this week, JSN has jumped Tyler Lockett as the second target. So monitor that situation closely, but I agree. Those two are wide receiver threes with Metcalf probably a lower end wide receiver too, but you could start all of them. The biggest question comes with the running back position, where Kenneth Walker was able to do some stuff at practice today. Thank you, Pete Carroll. What on earth does that mean?
Some stuff.
Yes.
That's what he's giving us to work with.
He did stuff. So he put his jersey on? He practiced?
He refilled the Gatorade jug?
He did something.
What did he do, Pete?
I think we're going to have to send one of us out to Seattle and figure this out. So monitor that closely. Zach Charbonnet did leave on Thursday night with a knee injury, so he's unlikely to play. If Walker plays, do you play him? It's a terrible matchup.
I think so. I think you have to put them in order of Walker, Charbonnet, Dallas, and depending on who's playing, you play them, you know, in that order.
Yeah,
Charbonnet, you know, he's banged up as well. DJ Dallas. So say we've got Walker and Charbonnet out. You start DJ Dallas as how much confidence in him?
No confidence, but the volume's going to be there. He probably would be how I felt about Chuba Hubbard. I don't love the matchup, but if there's going to be all this volume for him, we know Geno's okay dumping it off to the running back, so not a lot of confidence, but he'd probably be a low RB2, high flex, kind of like I said with Chuba.
Let's just hope we don't have to play any of them. Let's just not play any running backs. Let those guys get healthy, and Geno play from the shotgun. Zero backs.
Yes, that would be amazing. Over to San Francisco, we have a very simple decision to make this week. The Seahawks defense has been horrible of late, so we'll go very rapid fire in this. You start Brock Purdy. You start CMC. You start Brandon Ayuk. You start Deebo Samuel. You start George Kittle. And for those who didn't see, because we're on video, he gave a thumbs up to all of that. So, yep, you can start your 49ers, and we'll move on. Go over to Kansas.
I was just going to say, you just have to accept that there is a roulette table on the 49ers players, and that little ball goes around and around. It lands on one of them, and you know somebody has a bad game, and the rest of them go off. So you have to accept it and move on.
Yes, I agree. Go to the highest over-under of the week. The Buffalo Bills travel to Kansas City, take on the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite with a 48.5-point over-under. That is awesome. So, again, we can make things pretty easy, at least at the quarterback position. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, yep, you start them. Wide receivers, Stephon Diggs, yep, you start them. But with the Bills running back position, we have our first real tough decision. James Cook against this tough Kansas City Chiefs defense has been a weekly talking point as the Bills running back room. So where does James Cook fall for you this week? Is he someone you can start with confidence again?
I don't know. Are they going to throw it to him? Their past game, they threw it to him 7 times. He got 6 of those for 57 yards. He ended with a pretty decent day despite only running for 43 yards on the ground. But prior to that, 4 targets, 2 targets, 4 targets, 1 target. Do they know what they're doing in Buffalo? Like, are they on tilt this bad that they're just like panicking here? Because like James Cook is, I think, top 12 in scrimmage yards this year. So let's give him a few more. Let's get him involved. I think you're going to put him out there as a low end RB2. And this game, I hope it hits the over. Let's ring that bell. Let's hit it. Let's kill it. But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Him or Pacheco? Who do you like more?
I'd like Pacheco if he didn't miss practice on Wednesday. Pacheco did miss Wednesday with his shoulder contusion. I think it won't be a major deal, but something to monitor. So I think I'll stick with Pacheco.
Yeah, I think that'd be smart. Wide receivers, we're starting Diggs, right?
Absolutely.
Gabe Davis? Would you rather do Gabe Davis or Rashi Rice on the other side?
Ooh, that's a really good one. I think I'm going to go with Rashi Rice. I say very hesitantly, just because what I've seen from Gabe Davis has just been so inconsistent lately, and Rice has at least had 9 or more targets each of the last 2 weeks, so I think the volume is going to be a little bit more in Rice's hands, but these sorts of games are where Gabe Davis blows up when you play teams you expect not to do well against. But so I think I'd still lean Rice, but it's close.
Yeah, Rashi Rice, I think you can play him as like a fringe wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3. Those targets have been great, but it's really not deep down the field. I wish they'd, you know, have him streaking down a little bit more, but Patty's just, his average depth of target this year is just not where I want it to be. I think you can start him with some confidence, but the rest of these pass catchers I really don't like. Obviously, the tight ends, Kincaid, Kelsey, we're starting them.
Yep.
We should note that Dawson Knox was designated to return from IR, so now the Bills have 21 days to actually bring him onto the active roster, but be worried, folks. Kincaid, who has been carrying a lot of teams the last few weeks, he might see his target share cut in half.
Yeah, Kincaid will still probably be a tight end one, but I think he'll be probably, could get down to that lower. But there's one more Gabe Davis question I was thinking of as we looked through the remainder of the matchups. Gabe Davis or one of the Panther wide receivers?
I think I'd go Gabe Davis with the upside. You're probably not scoring a touchdown with the Panthers wide receiver.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. It's he did get 12 targets right before the bye, so it's the boom bust Gabe Davis. I'm going to Gabe Davis or Elijah Moore.
I think the safe play, the floor play is Elijah Moore. The ceiling play is Gabe Davis. So if you're the underdog, go with Davis. If not, I'd go with Elijah Moore.
Yep, we'll stick with the AFC West. The Denver Broncos travel to Los Angeles, take on the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers are a 2.5-point favorite with an over-under of 44. So cool. We get some more excitement there. Go over to Denver, where Russell Wilson's been playing well. You probably start him with a amount of injuries on bye. He's a good quarterback one this week. Would you rather start him or Justin Herbert in the same matchup?
Ooh, put me on the spot. Yuck.
I just looked at how we had it ranked. I'm like, wow, it's actually closer than I thought. Let's throw it out there.
Yeah, I'd probably play Russell Wilson. I think both of them, you could be pleasantly surprised with like a low-end QB one day. But yeah, give me Russ. He's looked pretty good of late. He's been a QB one in 3 of his last 4 games. So let's ride. Let's ride.
Chargers 5th most points to fantasy quarterbacks. And like I said, he's been QB1 lately. So yeah, give me Russ. I didn't expect to say that in week 14 of this season, but here we are.
Well, here's another gross question for you. I guess not gross. It's not that bad. But Javonte Williams or Austin Eckler? How are we at this point where we have to decide between these two?
Yeah, I don't like having to think about deciding between them. I'll go with Austin Eckler just because if the Broncos are, the Broncos are still tough against the run, they've given up the most points to fantasy running backs. And yes, a lot of it was probably because of that 70-point game against the Miami Dolphins. But this is, you got to get Austin Eckler involved, especially because they don't have anybody else who can catch the ball that's not named Keenan Allen. So if they're not going to do it on the ground, I think he gets enough work in the passing game where Eckler still is that that safe bet. So I'll stick with Eckler. I think he's a low-end running back one this week. Javonte, still a good matchup against the Chargers, so you start both of them, but he's more of an RB2.
Yeah, I think Javonte falls right in that range of those. James Cook, I think he's right around there. Travis Etienne's.
Yeah, I like that.
Eckler, though, so he's been outside the top 30 for the last 3 weeks now. He was only outside of the top 16 twice last year. So either he's hurt or that cliff is very real.
Yeah, I said he was going to be involved in the passing game. It's worth noting he did only have 3 targets last week, but the previous couple weeks, he had 7 in week 10, 6 in week 12, 3 in week 11, 7 in week 9. So there'll be enough targets to me, especially with how bad Quentin Johnson, everyone else has looked, that Eckler should have be in for a good flourish type game for me. I'm willing to buy back in for him for for at least this week in this tough and this easier matchup.
And as far as pass catchers on the Broncos side, Cortland Sutton's the only guy I'm looking at. He has been a touchdown machine this year. And then as far as deep passes, Eckler's sixth over the last 3 weeks with 12 20-plus yard catches downfield. So I think you can start him in as a wide receiver too, and he definitely has upside with his touchdown abilities.
Absolutely. Love the matchup. Chargers are very susceptible to the pass. 30th against fantasy wide receivers. So Cortland Sutton is definitely an easy play. Jerry Jeudy, no thank you. This has been a bad contract year for Jerry Jeudy. Four fewer targets in three of the last 4 weeks. They're close to getting Marvin Mims as many targets as they're getting Jerry Jeudy. So it hasn't happened yet, but that's the only Bronco receiver I can start with any sort of confidence is Sutton. And then same thing for you with the Chargers wide receivers. I know I've talked about Quentin Johnson having a rough time, but he did get some more targets this week. Josh Palmer was designated to return from IR, and the tight ends have always been up and down with Everett and Parham this week. Is Keenan Allen the only one, though, you can start this week?
The only one I'm going to start, that's for sure. I don't like these guys. Herbert hasn't been great with it, and we haven't seen production, consistent production from anybody else, so Keenan Allen's the only one I have confidence over here. Maybe Gerald Everett. I think he's a fringe tight end one, right on that cusp of tight end two, hanging out with guys like Evan Ingram, Kyle Pitts, and I guess David Njoku.
Yeah, Broncos have allowed the second most points to fantasy tight ends, so I like that call. I think as long as he has that work, he's been getting it, so I think Everett has a good floor option this week where I'd be okay. But let's move on to the most exciting game of the week. I mistakenly said that the Chiefs game had the highest over-under. I forgot we had this thriller of Sunday Night Football between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are currently a 3.5-point favorite, which kind of shocks me for this one, with an over-under of 51.5. So, again, quarterbacks, no questions. You're starting Jalen Hurts, and you're starting Dak Prescott. The running backs have been inconsistent at times lately. Tony Pollard has a very tough matchup with the Eagles, and Swift has kind of had his little rough patch, and the Cowboys are also a tough matchup for fantasy running backs. So you temper expectations for both of them, but you still start both of them, right?
Yeah, for sure. Tony Pollard's been, like you said, a little bit more involved over the last few weeks, so I think he might be in that fringe RB1, RB2. But I think I'd feel more confident looking at them and going at them approaching them as a like mid to high RB2s, just because of this over-under. They're probably going to score touchdowns, but both these defenses play pretty well against the run.
Yeah, but I agree. It's you start both of them. Receivers for the Eagles, it's very simple. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, yep, they both were awesome. We saw what the Seahawks did against them, so you both start them easily. Real question comes at tight end Dallas Goedert. Is trending in the right direction. He did practice on Wednesday and says he expects to play on Sunday Night Football. His first game back after a broken forearm. Can you just throw Dallas Goedert back in your lineup, or do you want to see some more out of him before you start him with any confidence?
I want to see more out of him. I really wasn't thrilled with most of what he's shown for, you know, the season prior to the broken forearm. And I can't get any reports or see anything, but does he have a cast on? Because if this is one of those situations where he's coming out there with a club and he's mainly just going to be a blocker, I'm definitely out. But I don't know. I'm not really into Goddard this week.
Yeah, I'd like to have a second option available. If you can get a Chigakonkwo as a, you know, safety blanket for Monday Night Football in case he gets ruled out unexpectedly or anything like that, I'd be willing to do that. But he did practice on Wednesday. He's listed as a full practice, so if he's full practicing on a Wednesday, I think he'll be back involved in the passing game, which limits Devontae Smith a little bit, but you can't sit him after what you saw last week. Over to the Cowboys, it's also very simple. CeeDee Lamb, he's awesome. You start him. Jake Ferguson at tight end.
I'd play him over Goddard for sure.
I would too. The Eagles, like I said, could be beat in the passing game. And you know what? That makes Brandon Cooks someone I'm starting in that same flex tier as we were talking about with the Gabe Davises and all that. He's got the 11 20-yard catches or more since week 10, so they're hitting him on a deep ball, and the Eagles have been susceptible to the deep ball. So I like Brandon Cooks as a a flex option who has that potential of the deep ball to get into that wide receiver too this week. So I am a, in this matchup against the Eagles, I'm a big fan of Brandon Cooks. Do you see that any differently?
No, he's had a nose for the end zone, and the one place you can shred the Eagles is in the air. So he's had a touchdown in 3 of 4 games and 4 of 6 games. So I think that trend continues with one this week.
Absolutely. And you said Jake Ferguson, he's a start, but I guess you temper some expectations. He's been pretty inconsistent the past few weeks, but I'm still not fading him in this eye of an over-under.
Also, to add with Cooks, he's at 11 20-plus yard catches since week 10. So that's pretty promising for a 30-year-old receiver some people thought was done.
Yeah, he just finds his way. He was dropped very early in the season by a lot of people, and now how the Cowboys are playing, you start any Dallas Cowboy that you can. And just as a reminder, we do have 2 Monday Night Football games this week, so that's fun, but they'll be on at the same time. So see how you can do it, but the matchups itself, maybe not so fun. But we'll start off in Miami, where the Tennessee Titans travel to Miami, take on the Dolphins. Dolphins are a 13-point favorite for the over-under of 46.5. We'll start with the Titans, where we have a pretty simple statement, I guess, for Will Levis. Any interest in him?
No, not at all. Did you notice that these 2 games are playing simultaneously as well?
I did see that. I don't like it.
What?
I want to be able to, I guess I'll have to put out my second TV and put them on in 2 separate screens. So that's going to be, it'll be tough while we're watching while we're recording the waiver wire show to watch 2 games, but I'll find a way.
They should have flexed the Patriots and Steelers and then the Jags and Browns to the Monday. That way we put 2 crappy games at the same time. Their over under would be 60 points combined. And that's way more exciting.
And then the Eagles Cowboys game might have gone over in both of them combined.
Right.
You know, this is why we need to make the QB list staff commissioner for a day. We'll just see what change we can do. But anyway,
Roger,
sticking with the
move out.
Yes, Roger. Thank you for your service. Let's let us do something different. But sticking with the Titans, Derrick Henry was possibly in concussion protocol, but it doesn't seem to be anymore. He did practice on Wednesday, so he's trending towards playing on Monday. It's a tough matchup with the Titans. You probably aren't against the Dolphins. You temper expectations because when he has a negative game script, he doesn't have as successful a game, but you can't fade sitting him. You probably just have to put it as an RB2 as someone you still start with confidence, but lower some expectations against the Dolphins.
Do you like Henry or Breece Hall more?
I don't want to play this game.
I don't like this game.
Yeah. give me Breece with the Henry injury news with PP, especially PPR. But yeah. I'm more confident Henry scores a touchdown, so I'll slightly lean Breece, but man, that's a good question.
I like that. I really don't want to start anybody on the Tennessee Tide. I mean, like you said, you're putting in Henry if he's starting, has a low end RB2, but like Hopkins, are you comfortable playing him as like a low end wide receiver 2?
I can't say I'm comfortable, but they're going to be playing from behind, and Hopkins did get 12 targets last week, so you play him probably as a flex option, I'd say, in this matchup. The Dolphins, you know they're going to be someone you have to throw against to keep up, which makes them a matchup you kind of want to play against with the wide receiver, middle of the pack against wide receivers. So, yeah, I'll start him as a flex option, but that's the only one.
For sure. You ready to head to the fun side?
Yeah, we'll make this pretty quick. Tua, you start him. Tyreek Hill, you start. Jalen Waddle, you start. The real question comes with the running backs with Raheem Mostert, Devon Achane. Tough matchup with the Titans, but we know the upside they have. So are both of these guys must starts to you?
I think they're must starts 100%. I know Raheem Mostert didn't have quite the game we were hoping because Achane came away with 2 of the touchdowns, but Mostert still had 1. He had 11, right? Only 12 opportunities, but he is, you know, he's one of those fast players. He's out there and he can break off and, you know, he can stack the books at any point. So I think both players have to be started with confidence.
Yes, I would completely agree with you there. And would you rather watch this game or the other Monday night game? If you had to pick one, would you watch this game or would you watch the Packer-Giant game coming up next?
That's what stinks. I like one team from each. I'd rather have the Dolphins play the Packers and then we can just not watch the Giants and Titans.
I would be all for that. I have no issue. I have no issue.
Half time, they should just switch.
Yes. Well, pause, go on a quick flight, and then you'll restart again on Tuesday.
Yeah, New York to Miami. I've done it before. You can make it. It's a nice jog, you know, right okay. before work. Yeah, down and back. No big deal.
You know what? Saquon does need the work a little bit, so maybe let me get some. Can I get those yards for my fantasy points?
Right. Well, we've got a 37-point over-under with the Green Bay Packers playing the New York Giants. Green Bay is a 6.5-point favor in this game. And I guess I'm going to start with the Giants because it'll go pretty quick. Barkley and anyone else?
Barkley. You start Barkley, and then you close your eyes and... Yeah, that's about it. We did see that Tommy DeVito, I almost called him Danny DeVito, will be starting. Tyrod Taylor was activated off IR, at least designated to return. So maybe we'll see some Tyrod Taylor before the end of the season. But
hopefully,
the Jersey guys are starting to love the DeVito love. So maybe they stick with him. But hopefully, for our sake, they give us another option.
Waller's also potentially being looked at to come back from IR. So if the person who had him dropped him, you've got the bench space, you've already secured a playoff spot, he might be an interesting grab, especially if Tyrod comes back. Because back in the heyday with Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo, Clay Charles was a beast at tight end.
Yes.
Because Tyrod just loves himself that position. So I think Waller's worth a grab if you have the position too.
Is there any Giant you're looking to stash at this point, or is it just duck and cover?
The rookie Jalin Hyatt in most leagues, most like 12-plus team leagues, I think he's worth a grab. Last week we saw his highest target share at 6, caught 5 of those for 109 yards. This is a rookie. This is a team that cannot seem to find a receiver despite them picking up 12 this offseason. So Jalin Hyatt has that potential to break out. We see that a lot very often with teams coming out of their bye week. And they had one of the latest bye weeks. So I think he has potential to maybe shine, but he still would be hard to play going into the playoffs.
Completely agree with you there.
Well, now we got the rough decision over here. We got Jordan Love, who I think is a great streamer this week. I think you can get maybe low-end QB2, but probably high-end QB1, depending on how well this Packers defense plays. If they absolutely shut down the Giants and they have no reason to play, then maybe Jordan Love doesn't. But I don't really like A.J. Dillon this week. I think he falls in that just a gross abyss with a lot of those other running backs we talked about, kind of like the Zekes, the Steelers running backs, the Baltimore running backs. I just... He, you know, you're going to put him out there to play if you need the position, but I don't like it.
Yeah, has there been any, I don't see anything on the news. Has there been any news about Aaron Jones' status for this week? I know they have the Monday game, so they're probably not getting too much, but was there anything?
Not that I found on him.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. I saw the latest news was, at least from their blog, is things haven't been looking pretty lately, so... you know, it could be very risky for him to put back out there. I would expect him probably to miss another game, which means it's A.J. Dillon, but yeah, I would agree. Low-end running back two, high-end flex, same tier I was throwing Chuba Hubbard in with the rest of those tough backs.
Well, now we've got a real problem, though, because we've got Dobbs, Watson, or not, I'm sorry, Watson's got the hamstring injury. We've got Dobbs, Jaden Reed, and Dontayvion Wicks, the rookie. Three wide receivers over here. Do you feel comfortable playing any of them, a couple of them? Where are you at?
I'm going to play Jaden Reed because he has the most upside. We've seen it that he has the most big play ability of the three. Wicks is working his way up. He was very close with Reed and Dobbs in terms of targets last week. Dobbs and Reed's had the higher snap target share between the two of them lately. So I prefer Reed, but they're both in that wide receiver three sort of range where I don't think I'm starting any of them with confidence just because they're going to eat each other alive for targets. But Reed's got the most upside, and he's gotten the highest target share amongst them with a 18% target share over the last 3 weeks. And with Christian Watson kind of taking the majority of that, I think most of them will end up going to Reed. So he's my preference, but I think Dobbs is safe, but you know there's not as much upside as with Reed.
Yeah, it's wild. We saw when Christian Watson was out early in the season, Dobbs had a 12 and 13 target game, but you know, since then we really haven't been able to see him recreate anything close to that. I think really the big piece for me is this is the week before the playoffs. For most teams, we're not messing around. It's a win and get in. I know most of my leagues, I'm like that. So I think Jaden Reed's the only one I feel comfortable with where I wouldn't be kicking myself later because I probably had a better option. Between the two of Dobbs and Wicks, I'd probably shoot for the stars with Wicks. He's been over 40 yards in, I think, through his last three games. Also pulled in a touchdown within that time span. So if you had to go one of those two because just, you know, the options, I get that. But Jaden Reed definitely is the only one I'm looking at.
Yeah, I don't blame you there. I think there's lots like him. As a streamer, does Tucker Kraft did have six targets last week? Are you have any interest in him as a streaming candidate against the Giants, or not really?
Possibly. Might have to check out my streaming article tomorrow to see more on that.
I like the tease. But we made it through. It's nice to have 15 games back this week with the weird Monday night schedule. But hopefully we're able to get you your start sit decisions. As we mentioned, as you're listening to this article, feel free to check out QBList.com as we will have a thorough breakdown of every start sit decision, every fantasy relevant player with our weekly start sit series. Our guys do a great job with breaking down every single of these games to help make you the most informed decisions going into the fantasy playoffs. So that's going to do it for this week's episode of the QBList Fantasy Football Podcast. As always, if you want to find the show further, QBList.com, at the QBList on Twitter. You can hit any of us up for start sit decisions, either on Twitter or in our Discord at QBList or Petros.com. Get PL+. So for all of us here at QBList, let's go get ourselves some playoff.